We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode number 55. My name is Andrew Rotondi. You can get me on Twitter at Yankees_talk. We got Scott Reinen at Scott Reinen. Obviously, you can follow the show at Bronx Pinstripes and bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. If you want to submit a mailbag, you can also get all the episodes on that page as well. Scott, what's up, man?
55, Hideki Matsui of Bronx Pinstripe Show. This is a... You know, up until a couple hours ago, we had a kind of a different rundown for what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden, we get the news, man. It's the unfortunate news of Mr. Greg Bird. So definitely a somber mood as far as the big guy that we were expecting to see and contribute big time. So I'm a little down as far as that goes. But looks like we'll have a lot to talk about with Greg Bird, too.
Yeah, pretty much nothing happened since the last time we recorded a podcast. And then, boom, this happened. At least it didn't happen tomorrow morning, right?
That's two for two. That's the last two times something big has happened to the Yankees. They've been at least announced it before our podcast, so we do appreciate that.
So before we get into it, we're going to just talk about a couple things with the website, and then we'll get into all the Greg Bird and Yankees stuff. So we just wanted to remind everybody, we mentioned it on the show last week, that we are going to be starting a weekly featured columnist where Monday through Friday, each person will be posting a column throughout the week. And we've decided we're going to start that the week of pitchers and catchers, which is the week of February 18th. Scott, why don't you go down the rundown on who has each day?
So we've decided on the days that each guy is going to be writing, and I'm actually going to put out an article as well, just a blog, just to kind of introduce what the columns are going to be, what you guys can expect, and then kind of the rundown of who's going to have what days. But we'll have Adam going on Monday, Rich Kaufman on Tuesday, RJ Lubier on Wednesday, Drew Sarver on Thursday, and then Andrew, you're going to be closing up shop every week on Friday with
bringing up the
column.
I was picked last.
So yeah, I'm excited for this column. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I think it's gonna be a little bit different from a lot of the stuff that we've been putting out. So I think you guys are gonna be able to really just kind of latch on to a writer and kind of get a good feel for who they are each week, and have something to look forward to every day. So that'll be I'm looking forward to it. I really am. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And the week of pitchers and catchers reporting seemed perfect to start it out.
And all five of us have pretty different writing styles and different opinions on the team, so it should be a pretty good gauge on, you know, where the team is and how the fans are feeling, because I think with the five of us, you get a pretty good idea of the Yankee community and how they're feeling about the team. So what else we got for updates on the website?
Just wanted to give you guys another update on the fan shop. I mean, the fan shop is going to be expanded. Like I said last week, I should have most of it actually completed by the end of this week. And the Meet at the Bat t-shirt design is complete. I'm excited about it. If you have not seen it, go check out social media. You can check out my Twitter. I threw some pictures up from kind of the behind the scenes in Photoshop, and I'm adding all the details to it. And we have it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, pretty much everywhere, so you guys can check it out. But yeah, final design is done. We will have the pre-sale. I'm hoping by the end of the week we should have the pre-sale up and ready to go so that we can get the shirt in production and ready to roll, man. So yeah, I'm excited about that. We have really, really cool stuff with the fan shop coming up. A lot of really good t-shirt ideas. I think I'm going to have to hold back on my Greg Bird t-shirt idea now, which pisses me off, but we'll see, because I thought it was awesome.
You remember last week I said I think people who are maybe under the age of, you know, 15, 16 years old will not get the reference, but I tweeted about the shirt. I said, if you're young, you probably don't get this, but I did not get anybody who said they didn't get the reference for Meet Me at the Bat, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the feedback and the people talking about this and sending me direct messages and emails from when I put out the design on social media has been awesome. It's been really cool to see that. And just the stories that are coming up already. I mean, I've gotten a whole bunch of emails when I sent out an email to some of our subscribers as well about it. And I'm getting emails back with just, you know, stories about how people have met met at the bat, you know, pretty much every single Yankee game, that was the spot that they met at. So it's definitely one that, that hits close to home for Yankee fans. And I'm happy that it's definitely resonating with everybody. So I'm excited for this thing to come out. Definitely.
My first exposure to the Meet Me at the Bat was, I don't know if you had this video, but the 1996 World Series video. Did you have that?
I have the VHS right in front of me right now.
I have all the four original VHSs. I don't have a VHS player anymore, so I got to find them on YouTube if I ever want to watch them. But if you remember at the beginning of that, they had you know, classic New Yorker talking about meeting at the bat before every game, meeting his brother, I think it was, to go to the games. And that was the first time I understood what the Meet Me at the Bat was. And then as soon as I saw that, the next season, I made my parents take me to the bat.
Nice. I don't remember that actually in the beginning of it. I know the whole thing is on YouTube. It's a there's a full length YouTube video of that VHS that they put out. So I'm gonna check that out again and to see where it is. But yeah, and also another time I'm seeing it everywhere now. But whenever they cut to George Costanza at Yankee Stadium while he's working, they always show the outside of Yankee Stadium at the bat. So. Definitely, I see that every time I'm watching Seinfeld now when they cut to him.
You know what I always wondered about Costanza and his office? How the hell did he have such a good view?
He was a vital instrument to the cog. He was Steinbrenner's guy, man.
Anybody who knows what type
of calzone, you know, gets a good office.
He reported to Wilhelm, and he's got an office with a view of right behind home plate. He's like five below Steinbrenner.
It's a pretty legit office. Yeah, absolutely.
all right. So you mentioned it. The bad news. God damn it. Why can't we have anything nice? Greg Bird will miss the entire 2016 season because he's going to have surgery to fix a torn right labrum. This came out of nowhere. We didn't hear about him. You know, apparently he had shoulder issues from May of 2015 when he hurt it. Obviously, he recovered and was, you know, quote unquote, healthy for the entire 2015 season. He had a great 2015 season, seemed to be training in the offseason fine, and then boom, the news hits out of nowhere. I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about with this. But, I mean, the bottom line is this just sucks because we were all looking forward to hopefully seeing Greg Bird play for the team this year.
Yeah, it's just, you know, starting off the season, I mean, just even before the season comes, you get hit by this. And while it doesn't affect the Yankees directly immediately because they said he's going to be starting in AAA, I don't think anybody who's a Yankees fan really believed that or believed that he'd be in AAA long if he was going to be there. I think everybody had the feeling that he was going to be a very important contributor to the 2016 run if the Yankees were going to make a run. He was going to be one of those important pieces. And this, like you said, it came out of nowhere. The fact that he had an injury in May of 2015, I don't remember that even happening. I don't remember any talk about it. I don't remember him ever being hindered by any kind of a shoulder or any other injury whatsoever when he was in the major leagues. You know, maybe there were some things in the minors that we just didn't hear about beforehand, but
which is entirely possible because he was in AA as of May 2015.
Right, and we don't obviously get that news from AA as we would even from AAA, and then obviously not from the club in the Bronx. So, you know, we're not hearing about that. But it was never even – I don't remember it ever being brought up. I don't remember it ever being, an underlying storyline at any point. So, and you think it would have come up with the Teixeira injury, right? You think you would have heard about a prior injury that year for Greg Bird if it was such a big deal when Teixeira got hurt, because it would have been a concern. It would have been something I think that would have been at least on our radar. But yeah, I don't recall ever hearing anything about it.
And yes, you're right. You said even though he wasn't going to be on their 2015 opening day roster, which or 2016 opening day roster, which is what Cashman and everyone was saying up until this point. Even if he wasn't, he was going to play a role on this team this year because the health of A-Rod and Teixeira is such a question mark. And let's face it, he's better than AAA level at this point. He proved that last year. He was going to force his way onto the roster. If he's absolutely mashing the ball in Scranton, they can't just leave a guy down there that could help, you know, back up Teixeira, give A-Rod days off at DH, potentially, like we've been saying, play the outfield, all that stuff, get a guy at bats. He was going to get at bats at some point this year. Obviously, he's not going to do that anymore. And that hurts them depth-wise immensely.
Yeah, because right now, if the season started tomorrow, Dustin Ackley is your full-time backup first baseman.
And he's the guy that's going to be going over.
Exactly. So that's why we have so many different subtopics that we're going to be talking about today, because the injury for Greg Bird opens up so many different aspects of this team and really gives Joe Girardi a lot of things to think about with what he's going to do with depth at the major league level, at AAA. There's a lot of moves that are going to need to be done. There's a lot of things that will be different now, I think, because of this injury.
And depth is such a key for this Yankees team because Absolutely. They need to get their guys rest. A-Rod needs days off. Teixeira needs days off. McCann probably needs days off.
McCann does need days off. Yeah. There's no doubt.
I don't know if Headley needs days off, but he certainly didn't look good last year. Maybe a couple days extra rest for him would be good. He played pretty much every game.
I know you want Headley to have days off.
Yeah. Give him 162 days off. Beltran, the whole outfield needs days off. Everybody.
There's a lot of guys.
Players that don't need days off are Didi and Castro.
Right.
The rest of the guys need days off. So now instead of plugging in a guy like Greg Bird, who we know can be an impact player on the major league level, you got to plug in Dustin Ackley, who is a replacement player. So that hurts you. That hurts you every day.
Girardi better be plugging into those sabermetrics and channeling his inner Billy Bean with all the moves that he's going to have to make in interchangeable parts, because, like you just mentioned, there are so many guys on this team that need, you know, pretty regular rest, a day off of a week, plus, you know, more than one day off a week. We have guys obviously going into their, you know, their late 30s, some in their early 40s, guys who are injury prone. And the, you know, without a big young stud first baseman that's going to be there, you know, to back up that guy or to be there, you know, God forbid an injury occurs, you know, changes a lot of things. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of things to think about now.
I mean, if you're a betting man and you're betting on the fully healthy season for Teixeira, or at some point going on the disabled list, the smart play is to say he's going to go on the disabled list at some point. It's just the track record for that guy. He is breaking down at this point in his career. He's had a number of issues. You know, last year was a freak injury. He fouled the ball off his leg.
To give him credit, yeah, last year was a fluke.
But injuries find guys like that. For whatever reason, injuries find guys like that. You've seen, you know, look at Derek Jeter. The guy fouled a number of balls off of his leg. He took shots, you know, in the field all the time. And he had one major injury in his career, or two major injuries in his career. And he played for 20 seasons. Teixeira's had 10, and he's been on the Yankees for only 8 years or 7 years. So injuries find guys. So I'd be shocked if Teixeira plays a full season next year. So they were going to probably have to count on Greg Bird. Another aspect to this is that this hurts Bird. You know, his sophomore year is key. They call it a sophomore slump for a reason, is because the league starts to figure you out. He was going to face tougher pitching this year. He was going to be hopefully in the big leagues for a longer time. The league has video footage on him now. He was going to need to make adjustments. Now he's going to be making those adjustments after sitting out a full year when they're counting on him to be an everyday player in 2017. So, you know, developmental-wise, this hurts Bird pretty bad as well.
That's just it. The next time he's going to be playing is when he's going to be the full-time Yankees first baseman. That's a big deal. The fact that he doesn't have this season, whether it's in AAA, whether it's in the major leagues, the fact that he doesn't have this season after his exposure to the major leagues last year, to me, is a big deal. Because, you know, he had to make adjustments when he was up. He had to work on things that he realized were maybe not as strong as he thought they were when he got to the major league level. You know, once you see major league pitching and you see what's, you know, the difference in baseball when on the major league level to AAA to AA, then you have to make adjustments to yourself. And he's not going to have that season, that buffer season between him being the full-time first baseman for the New York Yankees. So now you're right. He's going to be making those adjustments in spring training and in early in the season while he is going through his growing pains while he's full-time. So totally different aspect now.
And, you know, that was a luxury we had with Bird, is that he could ease into the role of everyday first baseman. Now that luxury is out the window, and they're probably going to have to – it would probably be smart of them to bring in a veteran guy in 2017 or possibly even give Teixeira a one-year deal if he still wants to play, and he would take a one-year deal. At that point, that'd probably be the smart play. Obviously, I know we're way down the road at this point, but if you're telling me Bird's coming off a full year and you know, of not playing baseball, and you're going to plug him in 2017 as the everyday first baseman, that worries me. So,
and you know, I know this is further down in our rundown, but I feel like it's very relevant for us to talk about right now, because when we're talking about Bird as a full-time player in 2017 and Mark Teixeira not there, because I mean, if Teixeira puts together a decent season, he's probably going to get offered somewhere. If he's not putting together a decent season, he gets hurt again, we don't want to touch him again. That, you know, I don't know. I don't see him on this roster after his free agent time is up. But the guy that we do have under contract that has played some first base, that I think they were going to kind of turn into a first baseman anyway before they thought, you know, before they realized that Greg Bird was the future, was Brian McCann. I think we'll see a lot more now of Brian McCann playing first base this year to get him ready to almost platoon and to make that adjustment a little bit easier for Bird in 2017. So I do think that we're going to see, especially if Sanchez is living up to the hype and has a good spring and, you know, really just solidifies himself as that backup catcher, I think we're going to see McCann going over to first base quite a bit.
Now you're thinking like a GM.
Yes.
No, that's a great point, is that a backup, you also have McCann who can be a backup first baseman, and you hopefully have the Kraken Gary Sanchez who can play
the Kraken, I love it.
who has a good spring and can be a legit backup to McCann. And instead of playing once or twice a week, maybe he catches three games a week and McCann spells Teixeira once a week at first base. It's an option that hopefully Sanchez plays his way into, because it would be great to see.
Well, and also that, I mean, I know that's not giving McCann a day off by going to first base, but it's definitely giving him like half a day off, because he's not putting the gear on. He's not squatting down every pitch. He's getting a lot less movement in the field. He's resting his body a lot more at first base than he would be at catcher. So it does help his, I think, you know, have him get some rest, and, you know, probably helps his durability going into the second half of the season. So that is a good thing. And I do believe that we're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah. And because Sanchez is a right-handed hitter, it gives, you know, if you're facing a tough lefty and you want to stack your lineup with righties, then you just sit McCann. You have Teixeira, who's a switch hitter. You have, obviously, A-Rod as the DH, and you got a bunch of other switch hitters on the team. So Sanchez plugs in, and you can stack your lineup with righties that way. But then if maybe there's a tough righty, then you stack it with lefties, and, you know, you get guys' days off that way. But, you know, what really the bottom line is that this just makes it more difficult to give guys days off is what it comes down to.
There's no doubt. But I tell you, not the more I'm thinking about it, the way we're just talking about this as well, Sanchez really could be playing that Bird role now. I mean, he's going to be playing a different position. But if McCann does do that, and that is the plan, and that's something that they're really going to implement, McCann more at first base, Sanchez really becomes that Bird role that we thought Bird was going to be this year, by spelling the guys, getting regular at bats, and, you know, having a younger guy at the behind the plate rather than having a guy at first base and DH. Sanchez really just steps into that what we thought Bird role was going to be, and he's not as much of a backup catcher at that point, which would in turn then the Yankees and Girardi would probably be carry someone like Romine as a third catcher. So yeah, there's a lot of things to think about.
Oh,
now.
Oh, leave it to Girardi. Leave it to Girardi to carry three catchers on his team.
Oh, I could absolutely see that happening. I could see Romine on this team.
So what you're saying is sort of split the duties behind the plate.
Yeah, and then, you know, if McCann turns out to be if he's not giving much up in the field, you're giving him the at bats. You're getting to share his rest. You're really kind of keeping that cycle of rest, you know, by switching McCann over to first base. And then, you know, giving guys regular time at DH. So it does give you a similar effect.
It's like Girardi's running a nursing home with cycles of rest, because that's the only way this team is going to be impactful in September, is if you get guys rest pretty much the entire season. We saw it last year. McCann got fried. A-Rod, you know, sort of broke down. All the guys broke down. So unless they rotate in rest the entire season, they're probably going to fizzle down the stretch again.
you know, if we're going to play GM for a minute and just keep on this track for there was something else that was thinking about, because you mentioned Headley. Headley's played first base before. Headley has a good glove. Girardi's already talking about
he has a good glove. He just doesn't have a good arm.
Right, but Girardi's already talking about Castro playing some third base. That's another option of moving Headley over to first base. But this is then this is just completely throwing a complete wrench into everything. And nobody knows where they're going to play at any point if they did something like that. But, I mean, they already talked about that. They already talked about Castro playing some third base. And if that's the case and they think he's a competent enough fielder over at third base, then that definitely opens the door up for Headley moving over to first base as well.
Everybody goes into the stadium every day, and on their way in, they pick something out of a hat, and that's the position.
Yeah, they're drawing straws. Yeah. They're drawing straws.
That's the position they're playing for the day.
Yeah. It'd be kind of fun to watch. I'm not going to lie. The interchanging of the players, and then you know what that does is it gives my boy Ref Snyder some at bats. So bring it.
So does this open up the 25th man roster spot for him if he plays well this spring?
I think it does. I really do. I really think it does. I think with the fact that Girardi says Castro could play third base. We know he could play some short. He's got the infield positions, taken care of if he needs to. I still think they're going to want a guy. Ackley is another guy. If they said Ackley's going to be the second backup second baseman, or he could play backup third outfield, and then Headley's going to move over. There's a lot of different things they could do, but I absolutely think this makes Ref Snyder more in play than he was before.
Yeah, definitely does. One thing we know, and this is because Cashman said it after the news broke, is they're not going to seek free agent first base help. You know, somebody like Pedro Alvarez or Justin Morneau. They're going to seek minor league depth help at first base. So they expect
in the beginning of the season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see them turning to one of those guys if they're still on the market a month into the season and it's not working out.
Or they might trade for somebody, you know, some point in the season. But yeah, they don't plan on bringing in a Morneau or an Alvarez type.
Right.
At the start of the season, which I know some Yankee fans on Twitter were asking for.
Yeah, and I agree with that move. I'm glad they're not doing that. I mean, I think we have guys who are flexible enough to platoon and plug in where, you know, it won't be hurt. And again, we're talking about a guy that was going to start in AAA. Let's not forget that. I mean, as much as we all love Greg Bird and we wanted Greg Bird to have an impact and to start in the major leagues in 2016, everything that the Yankees are saying was that that was not going to happen. So, I mean, it does not really affect that much the opening day roster. It's a matter of, you know, what happens when the injuries occur, because it's not an if. It's going to be when. And if it's not an injury, or if a guy needs to just, you know, if he goes on the 15-day DL because he's sore, I mean, that's going to happen. I fully expect something like that to happen if an injury doesn't occur.
Are you ready for a conspiracy theory?
Let's do it. This opens up a lot of conspiracy theories.
So
they're spinning in my mind right now.
The reason that Cashman said Bird is going to be starting in AAA is because they knew about this injury.
Yeah.
You know, maybe October, November timeframe. They were hoping he could just rehab and have it fixed. That didn't happen, obviously. They realized he needs surgery. So they were sort of setting the expectations. They were setting the bar low so it wouldn't be as big of an impact if he did need surgery. If he did rehab and he was great and he was healthy going into spring, they were pretty confident that he would just mash the ball in spring and have a great spring, and then they could put him on the major league roster, no questions asked, and everyone would be happy.
I like it. I think he might be onto something right there.
That's actually not that crazy of a conspiracy
theory. No, it's not. I mean, they absolutely knew about the injury, right? They're in touch with their guys. They know the way he's feeling. Obviously, there was some discomfort in the offseason somewhere. And so they knew about this injury. They knew about the previous injury in May of 2015. So this was on their radar, and they just weren't telling us about it up until this happened. So the fact that they were saying that he was not going to be on the major league level, you know, it's a nice move for them. It doesn't affect the opening day roster as far as what the Yankees were saying. So I think I don't think that's too much of a conspiracy, to tell you the truth. I think that actually might have a lot of legitimacy. I think that was good.
So as we're doing the show, I'm going to do a little live research for everybody. I'm looking at his minor league season last year to see if he missed any time, or do you know if he missed any time with that injury?
Honestly, I don't remember if he did early on. I don't even remember hearing about any kind of injury.
I'm going to look that up now. I'm trying to get to his game log.
But, and, you know, just talking about how the Yankees, a lot of Yankees fans were looking at the Pedro Alvarez, the Justin Morneau. Like, do you guys really want another retread to plug in there? Is that, this is a Yankee roster that we have been just calling for youth, and letting the guys play. Well, this is giving opportunities for the Yankees to be a little bit more flexible, for a guy like Castro to possibly slide over to third base, for McCann, who is under contract and is going to be on this team next year, to slide over and to give Sanchez an opportunity. That won't happen if we brought in like a Morneau, who's a one-trick pony at this point. Alvarez, who is a below-average defender. You know, he
would hit a bunch of home runs at Yankee Stadium, though.
He would probably have a good bat. I mean, that is a guy I would keep on my radar, but it's not somebody I would bring in immediately.
No, and he kind of is redundant. Another left-handed guy who can just pop, you know, 20 home runs. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's not like you don't want that on your roster, but they have enough guys on the roster who are probably better all-around players that will cost less.
Yeah, and Justin Morneau is a shell of himself. There's other guys out there that are just not appealing at all, and I would rather go with who we have at this point and have let Girardi do his thing with the guys in the field. So I'm totally okay with that. And honestly, Ackley is probably comparable to a lot of these guys that we're talking about as a first baseman as well, and offensively.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding the minor league baseball reference page is not doesn't have the same kind of details the major league one. So you know how the major league one you can get game logs, you can't get that on minors. At least if you can, I haven't been able to find it. So maybe I'll do that after the show and figure out if he missed any time with that shoulder injury in May of 2015. But he clearly rehabbed it and was healthy enough to come back and have a great Double A and Triple A, and then help the team at the major league level. So you know,
well, that's the thing. If he's missing games, how's he going from Double A to Triple A? If he's so injured, how's he going from Double A to Triple A? How's he making that jump? Why would the Yankees be making that jump at that point?
You're right. He probably didn't.
If he's physically, if he's physically being held back by an injury,
it clearly didn't hurt him that much because he hit 11 homers in 40 games and he looked like he belonged in the major leagues when he came up.
I mean, this could also be a thing that, hey, this injury is not getting any better and surgery would make it better for the long term. So this could also be a long-term play for the Yankees saying, well, we had you in AAA this year anyway, so let's just get this thing fixed before it does become an issue when we absolutely need you in 2017. So that's something that, you know, really hasn't been talked about and could also be an option.
Are you a little concerned, though, that at 23 years old, the guy already needs surgery and this is, you know, a re-injury?
Yeah, I think when you're talking about a young guy like that who's already going under the knife for, you know, a very integral part of your body,
a non-pitcher going under the knife to fix his shoulder is definitely a concern.
Absolutely. I mean, you absolutely have to raise a flag. Now, you can't go and say he's an injury-prone guy at this point because I don't think we know enough. We haven't seen enough of a sample size to even know that. But starting his career on, you know, playing half of a season, not even half of a season, and then in the offseason going into I call this a major surgery, is not a good thing for your future
prospects. Oh, yeah, it's major. He's missing the whole year. Okay, that's another thing. Is it a little weird that the surgery's happening in February and they're already ruling him out for the entire year to fix a shoulder labrum? I don't know how long these things take. I know on our Facebook thread, you know, it was like a bad series of sports radio callers. Everyone's calling up Francesa with their injuries from high school. Yeah, Mike, I tore my labrum when I was 16 years old and I was striking guys out 5 months later. I don't know why Bird's out all this time. But isn't it a little concerning that he's out for the full season?
Yeah, they definitely came out and said that right away, that he's done for 2016. So they're not taking any chances with him. This he is very much cemented into their future plans, and they obviously don't want to risk any kind of re-injury. They want to make sure that this thing heals 100%, 200%, and that he comes back fully healthy. And that, you know, I guess the percentages, if you rest for a lot, rest longer than coming back, are a lot better for, you know, not re-aggravating the injury in the future. And that's what they're really trying to do at this point.
And I guess that's a luxury they have with him right now. is that right. They can sit him out the whole year and not feel like it's going to really impact the team this year, and it's just a good thing for his career long term. So
now, also reading the Joel Sherman article, you know, about this, and he goes into some depth about, you know, what the Yankees are thinking and such. And, you know, I know we've been calling for this. This has definitely been a topic of our conversation pretty much every week and drives us crazy, and why they won't give him an opportunity to play a right field, you know, something that is that to us seems like it's very within his athletic ability. But Sherman writes that he, you know, that the Yankees, maybe this is a, you know, a reason why they don't think he's athletic enough to play a right field. You know, maybe he's got some limitations, and that's concerning to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. If they, you know, he's got a shoulder issue, they don't want to have him throw him from right field a bunch of times. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that I think could play into why they keep saying that as well. So there's a lot of things that are coming out now that make a little bit more sense when you look at the grand scheme of kind of the, you know, the overall way that they've been talking about Greg Bird and the way that he's going to contribute in 2016, and, you know, saying that he is a first baseman, that's what he is, he's not going to be anything else. A lot of this stuff is kind of coming more into the clear and making more sense. So
I think it just sucks, though, right? It's just for Yankee fans everywhere, this sucks. This was a young guy we all liked last year, we could get behind this year, and we're not going to see him all year. So it's kind of a shitty situation.
Yep.
All right. That's enough depressing Greg Bird talk. Let's talk about some other stuff. So, juicy headlines is Jeter to possibly attend spring training. And that was the headline I saw, and everyone's freaking out. Is he making a comeback? No, it would be as a special instructor or, you know, the Reggie Jackson, you know, consultant type. But we might see Jeter, who, you know, could make the drive from St. Jetersburg in Tampa over to spring training this year with the Yankees.
And I think it's funny kind of the way it came out too. Was it Jack Curry who saw
Jeter's girlfriend? Brian Hawk.
Okay, he saw Jeter's girlfriend in Hawaii, and
yeah,
she basically alluded to the fact that, well, you might see him in spring training or something along those lines. So it's just funny how it came to came to the media and was that leaked that he might be in spring training. But hey, I think it'd be a good thing. Do I think Jeter's going to be there this year? Probably not. I think personally that he's still staying away from the Yankees for right now and kind of doing his own thing. It would be pretty soon for him to come back, although a lot of the core four guys came back pretty soon after they retired. So, you know, I guess it would be – I think – I mean, when is it not a good thing to have Derek Jeter at camp?
Yeah, he's cut from a different mold, though. He's just not – he's not like Pettit or, Posada or any of those guys, or O'Neill or Tino, where you see them around the ballpark all the time. That's just not Jeter. He's made too much money. He's too famous. He's getting married. He's got too much stuff going on. He doesn't need to be concerning himself with spring training baseball at this point. And I can't say I blame him.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely made it very clear that he doesn't want to be in baseball immediately. He wants to take care of the other things in his life and take a step back. I mean, he, like you said, he had a 20-year career, played baseball for the entire time, and he's doing some good things with the Players Tribune. I know that they've had a good run so far, and I know they're adding a lot of their own custom media and custom segments and things like that. So those guys, he's busy over there being the lead editor.
It's so funny to see baseball writers not linked to the Players Tribune if there's a story that they're referencing, because they're still bitter that Jeter started that.
Maybe there'll be a spot at A-Rod Corp. Maybe there's some things that A-Rod Corp or the Players Tribune are going to be doing together.
Maybe that's the first subset of A-Rod Corp is the Players Tribune.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, because A-Rod's got to start buying companies. Has the website been updated yet?
What? I haven't checked.
I'm checking what if, right now.
What if A-Rod starts his own Players Tribune to rival Derek Jeter and go head-to-head in New York as the athlete publishing company?
It's, you know, it's not a bad thing for A-Rod. And here's an update on A-Rod Corp. Still under development, but thank you for visiting. Please check back later.
Has the logo still – has it changed, or is it still fly fishing?
He's fly fishing still. There's a fish on the end of the line, though.
There you go.
All right, well, while we're talking about A-Rod, we got a mailbag question, so why don't we do that now? So this one's from Joe Z. McFly, who we've gotten questions from before. Thanks, Joe. He says, do you think the Yankees consider signing A-Rod after his contract, considering his impact in the clubhouse seems to be positive?
No. They are so happy that it has turned out the way it has turned out from last year. Their fingers are crossed that it's going to continue into next year. Their fingers are going to be triple crossed that it continues into 17. But no, they are at this point. At this point, it's you know, it's all gravy. You know what I mean? It's like they can't believe that. I'm pretty sure that the Yankees cannot believe how well it's turned out so far. So are they going to chance another year? Absolutely not. He's going to go to Miami. He's going to work with the Marlins. That's going to be how it's going to be happening. Guarantee it.
I can't confirm this, but I'm pretty sure Cashman has in his office one of those calendars you rip off that count down the days until A-Rod's contract is no longer on the books.
Yeah. There's no possible way this is going to happen.
Like you said, this is actually turning out to be a good thing with A-Rod. At the end of his career, he's reinvented himself. He's the good guy now. He can go out on a positive note without people hating him. I think if he has a solid year this year, you know, he's probably going to keep decreasing in productivity because, let's face it, he's old. But if he's just a positive influence on the team and finishes his contract and then quietly retires, you know, I think it's a good thing for A-Rod, a good thing for the Yankees. They end on a positive note, which for the past 15 years has had a lot of negativity with him.
And if you're looking at the way this is going down, basically this is a three-year contract, right? This is that last year was the first year of the three-year contract after his comeback. And year one was great. I mean, the A-Rodicence, everything about him, like he was – the boos practically stopped or they got muted in many of the stadiums.
Oh, they really stopped. He was getting standing ovations.
Well, at Yankee Stadium, no doubt. But yeah. I mean, even on the road, he wasn't getting heckled as bad.
It just
kind of teared down. There's two more years to go on this, and he's not going to get better, most likely. If he does, he's superhuman. The A-Rodicence is he needs to bottle
he's
it
working
up and
out
sell
like
it.
A fiend, though.
He is. I mean, the guy's doing water drills. He's doing everything. I mean, he's really – I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see his resurgence in social media, too. He's really, really stepping it up in there. A lot of family time. I love it. Love seeing A-Rod family time. Golf day today. It was golf day yesterday. The family looked like they had a great time on the golf course.
Oh, I haven't seen these pictures.
But yeah, so you know, there's two more years to go on this 3-year term after the suspension, and there's a lot of things that can happen. Because I'll tell you one thing. If his productivity decreases and it decreases significantly, he's not going to be so liked in Yankee Stadium anymore. New Yorkers are not going to be behind A-Rod if he's not doing anything on the field and he's got that giant contract that's limiting us from getting people. It's going to be a different tune if the productivity. Let's not forget the reason, one of the very big reasons we all went behind him and were supporting A-Rod and he was this nice, fun, awesome guy again was because he was producing on the field and the ball was leaving the ballpark. When that stops, if that stops, the Bronx cheers come out, then God knows what'll happen.
The real question around A-Rod is, does he get a farewell tour in 2017?
Oh, man. I hope so.
If Ortiz is getting one, A-Rod's got to get one.
Yep. I mean, there's a good comparison there.
Well, it was a fun question to talk about, at least. All right, so next week, what we're going to do is we're going to start previewing teams from around baseball. You know, as we're getting into spring training, it's good to just get a gauge on some teams, you know, what they did in the offseason, if they're going to be improved from last year, if they're a threat to the Yankees for the American League and things like that. Instead of doing the AL East teams, because those are going to be more in depth, we'll get to those later in spring. We're going to start with the AL Central and do Kansas City and Detroit. We'll go on to the other teams in that division, move on to the West, and we're also going to do the National League teams that are on the Yankee schedule. So that should be, you know, we'll roll that out next week and do that. Hopefully that'll take us into the season.
Yeah, and I think it'll be good for us to get more used to, you know, what I haven't really had my finger totally on the pulse of what every single team is doing. I mean, obviously we know the big trades, but just looking at who their starting rotation is and how it matches up with the type of stuff that the type of lineup that we think the Yankees are going to put out, I think will be good for Yankee fans to kind of know what they're getting into when we go, especially when we're on the road, you know, at these parks and when they come to the Bronx. So, yeah, I'm actually excited to get a little bit of a further in-depth look at a lot of these teams.
And Kansas City and Detroit should be fun because obviously Kansas City won the World Series and Detroit has made some pretty big moves in the offseason. So definitely do that. Before we get out of here, Scott, any last words?
No, it's unfortunate for Bird. You know, check out the new fan shop. I will definitely send it out on Twitter and on Facebook and keep an eye out for the pre-sale of Meet Me at the Bat. If you're not on our mailing list, definitely go to the website, bronxpinstripes.com. Get on our mailing list so that you can get all of the pre-sales. We're going to be doing a lot of contests and things like that behind the scenes for people on the mailing list. It's kind of like a VIP information area as well. So definitely get on that mailing list.
Awesome. Yep. And again, bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. You can get all the old episodes there and you can submit to the mailbag. Call the voicemail line, 646-480-0342. No. God, I mess it up every time. 646-480-0342. All right.
Babe Ruth, Mariano Rivera.
All right. We'll catch you guys next time.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.